You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism, broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Well, thank you, Mike. And this is Roy Lowy, and you're listening to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network, ttrn.com, and on the World Travel and Dining Channel. My guests today are Evan Eggers, Bonnie and Bill Neely, Karen LaPerry, and Ron Kreider when we come back.
This is the story of Mary and Larry. They had cabin fever so bad it was scary.
We need a vacation, a place warm and sunny, a place that's fun for not much money.
Let's escape the cold and the snow. We'll fly Sky Value from Gary, Chicago.
Sky Value now offers great rates from convenient Gary, Chicago Airport to your favorite hotspots, Orlando, St. Pete, Fort Lauderdale, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. Book your flight at flyskyvalue.com.
Gary, Chicago Airport works for me. The drive was easy.
The parking secure and free.
Sky Value. You sure saved us money.
You're so smart.
And so is my honey.
And they flew Sky Value from Gary Chicago Airport happily ever after. Fares are one-way subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. Fares do not include September 11th security fees and other U.S. taxes and fees. See participant agreement for details. Sky Value flights operated by Extra Airways, PC number 06154.
This segment of the show is brought to you in part by SureCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, serving seven different cities from Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, St. Pete, and Orlando. Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, is on the phone from Germany, in fact, with the latest cruise buzz. Hello.
Hello, Roy.
How are you, Evan?
Very well, thank you.
Boy, you're coming in great, thinking that you're coming all the way across the pond.
Well, hopefully the connection will maintain itself during our talk.
We hope so as well. Let's go directly to the cruise news, and I see that there was an unfortunate incident where a barge actually ran into Carnival Fantasy in New Orleans.
Yeah, this was on Saturday. The Fantasy was returning back up the Mississippi River into New Orleans, minding its own business, and an errant rice barge sideswiped the ship and gave it a 30-foot gash in its steel plating above the waterline. And I'm sure you've seen these things going up and down the rivers, these barges. It basically happens is you have one or more tugboats pushing, you know, it could be 3, 4, 5, 10 different unpowered barges full of whatever commodity, coal, rice, corn, whatever. And in this case, it was rice. So, you know, if those things start to get unbalanced or the tug starts to lose control of it, anything can happen. And in this case, it did.
And the ship returned, however, safely to the cruise terminal.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the ship was able to. There was really nobody was hurt, nobody was injured, and none of the ship's services were affected. So really, other than getting having a fender bender, the ship was perfectly fine and went back to the pier. Carnival, being optimistic, actually thought they were going to be able to patch it up and set sail that day with the new batch of passengers who they went ahead and started to board. But in the end, they decided that the steel damage was too much. They had to cancel that one cruise. And as far as I know, their next sailing is actually tomorrow, and they're planning on doing it. So the ship should be fixed by now.
Right. Well, they canceled their 5-day cruise to Mexico, as I understand it. And but you know, as usual, Carnival came to the table, and they gave the travelers a full refund plus a 25% discount towards a future cruise. So and paid and reimbursed those who flew in there for their flights as well. So
that's right.
Works.
No, they did, you know, and it's especially in a situation like that, and it is what a cruise line should do, but you can't just take it for granted that Carnival stepped up and reimbursed, put itself out of pocket for something that really wasn't its fault at all.
Exactly, and they did the right thing. Tell us about the this possible cruise ship employment scam.
Well, this is something that's turned up in the press lately. There's a group, and again, this is so far nothing is confirmed. There's been no convictions. But the general consensus amongst the media and the police departments in the area seem to be that there's this company that is advertising that they can provide employment on cruise ships. They have a website set up. They advertise it at some, you know, employment websites. But essentially what it appears that they're doing is telling people they need a $150 deposit toward a uniform or something to that effect, and then people never hear from them again. So they ask for lots of personal information, a uniform deposit, and then that seems to be it. you know, and I hope that the police are looking into this more and we'll hear more about it. And if it turns out to be what it appears to be, which is a scam, I hope they get shut down. But the message to people out there, you know, as always with anything, if it seems too good to be true, you know, believe that it probably is too good to be true. And furthermore, no employer is going to ask you for money before they offer you a job. That's crazy.
Yeah. And to take advantage of people who are looking for work. I mean, first of all, they might have laid out their last few bucks just to get the job. That's pretty bad.
It is very low. It is. Yeah. I won't mention the name of the company because, as I say, they haven't been convicted of anything. But
right.
The point being, if you're in the market for employment on a cruise ship and somebody asks you for money up front, don't do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, a lot of people are used to paying employment services, but that usually comes after the fact, certainly not before, you know.
That's right.
Now, Carnival's naming two upcoming ships in the new class.
That's exactly right. And in keeping with the latest trend in the cruise industry, Roy, I don't know why they can't come up with original names anymore, but nobody is. So the two new Carnival ship names are Carnival Dream, which we can only assume they're doing to honor Norwegian's existing Dream,
right,
and Carnival Magic, which they must be doing to honor Disney's existing Magic.
Let
me apologize right now to any Carnival people who are listening to me say that, but I just couldn't help it.
They could have called it the Evan or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, or the Roy. Good ship Carnival Roy would be lovely, I think. The good ship Talking Travel.
Exactly.
Now that I'm done tweaking Carnival, but these two new ships, the Dream and the Magic, are going to be delivered in 2009 and 2011, and these will actually be a new class of vessel for Carnival. 3,600 passengers, and Carnival has yet to announce all the details of what new amenities they'll put on board with that added space. But, you know, we're expecting some interesting things from Carnival, so that'll be fun to see how that transpires. And these are all being built at my personal favorite shipyard, Fincantieri in Italy, which just does beautiful work.
Yeah, and I'm always glad you can pronounce that.
Well, I do what I can.
Now, Royal Caribbean's Majesty has emerged from its 28-day dry dock and is now back in Miami, and it's going to resume its 3- and 4-night Bahamian cruises, so that's also good news.
That's right. It's been buffed and polished. I've seen some photos come out of it that look very good. And I would say that, you know, also Royal Caribbean, when they do a ship refurbishment, they really come out looking good. I mean, some cruise lines, they do a refurbishment on a ship, and it looks like it got a new coat of paint, some new carpets, and that's it. But when Royal Caribbean does one of their ships, you walk on board, and it really feels like a new ship. So I haven't been on board the refurbished vessel yet, but I'm looking forward to doing it, and I'll report back.
Now, tell us about this experience of the cruise ship had rounding the horn, and they got into these 45-foot seas, I guess.
Yeah, this is interesting from two perspectives. So this is the Holland America Prince and Dom, which is their smaller ship, used to be a seaborne vessel. And the Prince and Dom's purpose in life is to wander the globe to interesting places for people who are really looking for a world cruise kind of experience. And the ship didn't get into trouble. I mean, there was never any danger of the ship, you know, the ship capsized or anything ridiculous like that. But there was some discomfort on board during this. But the interesting thing to me is that the farther one of these stories happens from the U.S., the less you hear about it in the media, which just cracks me up. I mean, it was a fairly major event. The ship was rounding the horn of South America, and this is called the Drake Passage, that area. It's legendary for heavy seas. And the captain was expecting 30-foot swells and, you know, was running the ship accordingly, you know, keeping, you know, things battened down, not having loose objects hanging around. But then apparently one evening while dinner was being served, they did get surprised by a couple of extra-large waves. I don't know if you'd call them rogue waves or not, but a couple of 60-footers is what they're estimating right now. And the two waves together were able to cause the ship to list. The captain estimated at around 20 degrees or so. And so, you know, there were injuries on board. You know, nothing major, nothing life-threatening, but some people were later on taken to shore for treatment in landside hospitals. And in the end, the ship was fine. Now, the interesting thing is, and we've seen this before when any kind of, you know, unusual event happens on board a ship, typically, the more experienced the travelers on board, which is what you expect on a longer trip like this to an exotic place, the more experienced they are, the more of a stiff upper lip they keep. So there have been lots of passengers reporting back kind of live to places like Cruise Critic and other forums online, basically saying that, you know, yeah, it was unpleasant, but the ship has done a great job, the crew's done a great job, we love them. And that's pretty much the passenger response to the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting because if we look back in history, rounding the horn was never easy.
Oh, no. I mean, it's got to be the graveyard for many, many ships in history. And, you know, even with today's advanced meteorology and forecast, you know, vessels have a very good idea of what they're getting into when they go down there. And, they know exactly what the current situation is.
And it is the real experience.
Yeah, well, they wanted a real rounding the horn experience, and by Jove, they got one.
They sure did. Tell us about the cruise lines forming a new association to make peace in Alaska.
Well, yeah. Now, there's a symbiotic relationship up there where the cruise lines obviously bring a lot of tourism, a lot of people, a lot of good things to Alaska. At the same time, the Alaskans have always kind of suspected that they were being taken advantage of to some extent, and that came to a boil last year when Alaska passed a $50 per person head tax on cruises to Alaska, which was
incredible.
You know, yeah, which was really hard fought, and people did not really expect it to pass, but in the end it did, and so now it's in place. So the cruise industry, got the message that they have some fence mending to do in Alaska, that people, they haven't done an effective job of getting their positive message out for what they bring to the table. And so they formed an industry association, the Alaska Cruise Association, which is being led by a former Alaska gubernatorial candidate named John Binkley, who's third generation Alaskan, and obviously he's very well connected up there. And his goal will be to work to improve the relationship the cruise lines have with Alaska in general. And the cruise lines are saying all the right things. They're saying that they're willing to, you know, take into account or listen to what Alaska suggests to improve the relationship, to do a better job of responsibly cruising and bringing people to Alaska. And they'll try to incorporate that to, try to make it better for everybody. And it's a nice message, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
And maybe, as you say, they should have done this earlier in the game.
Well, I'm sure they're thinking that now.
We have a little time left, Evan, and kind of bring us up to date. What's happening with SureCruise.com these days?
Well, you know, SureCruise, this is wave season. It's called wave season in the cruise industry, so this is when we're at our busiest, which we certainly are. And, we're enjoying that. People are – it's interesting. So some of the different booking trends, people are booking cruises farther out in advance than they have in the past. So, you know, on average, we've seen people book about 120 days out. Now they're booking on average 150 days out, which is the longest since we've been in business since 1999. Kind of fascinating. Another interesting trend is that Caribbean cruise prices remain low because of all the hot competition in the Caribbean, so you can still get a great deal on a Caribbean cruise. But at the same time, cruising everywhere other than the Caribbean, prices are up and capacity is tight. I mean, there are cruise lines like Oceania, which is a relatively new cruise line, that they're really booked up. It's hard to get space on an Oceania cruise for the next 6 months. So cruises are going to more exotic destinations out of the Caribbean. It's harder to get on, but the Caribbean cruises are still a terrific value just because there are so darn many ships down there.
And this special cruise that you're doing where you're going to be hosting a number of sessions, how is that coming?
It's coming great. That's going to be April 14th. Thank you for asking about it. It's going to be on the Grand Princess sailing round trip from Galveston. And we're calling it the Sure Cruise President's Cruise to help people get out of this nasty snowy weather that I'm thankfully missing back in New England.
Amazing, yeah.
And what I'll be doing is I give a number of seminars, and the most popular one I call Cruise for Free, which is to really educate people as to how they can gather up a group of friends or business associates of any type and go on board a cruise and earn a free cruise fare for bringing along as few as seven other couples with them. And, you know, when people sit and think about it, it's like they know people at their church, at their health club. They may work at a business where they could have a customer seminar on board a cruise, all kinds of ideas. And, it's a wonderful way to see the world. And really, everybody knows 14 people, so bring it on.
Yeah, and it's certainly worth the effort, as you say. And one would think with all these email jokes and things I get that have 30, 40 people listed on it, copied on it. Why don't they just say, hey, let's go on a cruise, and they ought to be able to get 14 out of those anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, the cruise is on the Grand Princess again, April 14th from Galveston, 7 nights round trip to the Western Caribbean, which we've laughed before. I've never been on a Western Caribbean itinerary, which is hilarious, given that, you know, it's one of the most popular cruise itineraries, so it's right about time I went down there and did it.
Well, it sounds like fun, and we certainly encourage everyone that's listening, if you're interested in going on this cruise, I guess you can just go to surecruise.com and the information will be there, is it not?
That's right.
Evan, thank you. When are you back from Germany?
I'll be back next week, Roy, so I'll be talking to you from snowy New Hampshire.
Boy, there's been a lot of snow around. I mean, upstate New York, they've had 100 inches, for Pete's sake. That's amazing.
Well, over here in Berlin, it's about 50 degrees and sunny out, so.
Well, it isn't so bad in Florida either. I won't even tell you what. It's 75.
I know. You'd like to You like to rub my nose in that.
75 degrees and sunny as well in lovely Florida. So
Evan, someday I'll like move. I'm going to have to move to Honolulu so I can get the upper hand with on you on that whole subject.
Thank you, Evan.
All right.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Roy. Bye-bye.
Right, bye for now. Evan Egger is calling in from Germany. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Bonnie Neely, and she's going to give us a little tour that they've done recently in their RVing across Canada. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
It's always a pleasure to have Bonnie and Bill Neely, or Bonnie or Bill, who's ever with us today, and they're going to take us on a little adventure, a real travel adventure across Canada. Thank you for joining us, Bonnie.
Hi, Roy. It's good to talk to you again, and congratulations on that new grandchild.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's always an interesting experience to have a new member of the family.
Oh, yes, and very, very special.
Bonnie, you're going to take us on an interesting, very, very interesting, what you call the Trans-Canada RV journey.
I would like to talk about RVing in general, if that's okay.
That's perfectly okay.
We have had so many experiences. We have had 32 years of traveling in an RV all over North America and Central America and France. So we've had many years of wonderful experiences. And we got into it in a very strange way. We had never talked about camping in any kind of way. And I was a city girl with a brand new baby and a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. And my husband came in one day and said, "Guess what? I bought an RV." And I said, "And we're going to Mexico." And this was in June, hot. And I said, "Guess what? You're getting a divorce."
Oh, my, you didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Oh, fine.
I had a 3-month-old baby, and Mexico in the 70s was a third world country.
And right.
It was horrifying.
And very scary, I would think, yes.
Very scary.
But if it's the one I saw in the photographs, it's quite a beautiful RV.
Yes, well, that's 6 RVs later because we fought all the way to the border, and I wanted to turn around and go back, and he did not want to. And we learned to love it, and it became addictive, and it's been a lifelong passion now. And all of our children grew up RVing half of their lives and just loved it, and we just have many, many happy memories.
And I've done a bit of that myself. I haven't done a lot, but I had a small RV and went down through California and down through Baja all the way down to Cabo San Lucas, Loreto, Mulegé, and those areas. And I was on my own, actually, and it was interesting because I only drove during the day because on those two-lane roads, sometimes the taillights of vehicles in front of you, especially Mexican vehicles, sometimes they don't even work. So I always recommend that if you're going to do that sort of driving, don't be in a hurry, and and drive in the daytime when you have good visibility.
That is so true. Plus, it's hard to set up for a camping at after dark, too. We've tried that a few times.
Exactly. That's the other. But you pre-plan it pretty well, don't you, in advance?
No, actually, that's what we love about RVing is we wing it.
Do
we
you?
We don't know where we're going to stay or where we're going to turn off and say, oh, this looks interesting, and go down a road that's unexpected, and sometimes one that we shouldn't have gone down. We've had to unhook and turn around or stay in a place we didn't want to stay just because we couldn't get out of it sometimes.
Yeah, I've had that experience. We crossing what was once a road becomes a river, and I actually had to tie the line on the bumper of my vehicle and had asked some local Mexican fellows if they'd just add a line to the front and a line to the back, and they'd just slack off so I wouldn't end up going down river.
Oh, my goodness, and I read just this week that 12 inches will float an 18-wheeler.
Oh, no.
12 inches of water. So, yes, you're very right. You don't cross high water crossings no matter what.
I guess you just begin to float.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe not for long, enough to get you off the road.
I do have some important advice for anyone who's thinking about RVing or taking any kind of camper vehicle, is to, if you're thinking about buying one, is to try one first by renting it or borrowing it from a friend, because it's not an experience for everyone. Wouldn't you agree?
No, very good advice. Absolutely.
You will either love it or hate it.
I always think the same thing, even with a car. If you can, if you see a particular car you like, if you could rent one for a week or two and really see if you like it, unless the dealership will give you a loaner, you can experience it. But in an RV, it's so much more important, as you say, because there's so many other factors.
Yes, and there's so many different kinds, but I would strongly urge someone to go to a nearby place and rent it for a weekend and, to see if you can learn all the quirks that it takes to know how to do the setup, and if you really can stand living in cramped quarters with your mate or your partner or your friends or whatever you plan to do. There's another factor, too, is if you are one that is going to drive long distances, as we do, because we live in Texas and our children live in New Jersey and California, so we cross country every summer. And if you're going to drive long distances, it is, unless you already own a large truck, and many people make the mistake of thinking their small truck can pull a small RV, a small camper, and so they buy them because they're cheaper, and then they find out they have to get a new truck because it's not strong enough to pull it. This is a big error that a lot of people make, but you need a big truck with a powerful engine to pull any kind of camper safely. And if you're going short distances, that's great, to go in a camper. That may become the cheapest thing. But if you're going long distances, an RV is more practical, less expensive to operate, and can be cheaper in the long run.
And the other part, if you do have a trailer and you are traveling, you plan on traveling to some rough country, you might very well want to consider a four-wheel drive truck as well.
Mm-hmm, very true. And make sure that you know how to back it, because, oh my goodness, that's a difficult thing with any vehicle you pull behind.
Yeah, even with a boat trailer. I mean, I saw the most amazing thing the other day. Actually, I was on the road, and somebody was driving quite a large RV, and behind it they had a double-decker trailer.
Oh my goodness!
On the top they had their boat, and on the bottom they had their car, or vice versa. I'd never seen anything like that before, but it was really quite amazing.
Yes,
and I've done both as well. I used to go down into Mexico, into the other side of Baja, into Mazatlan and some of those areas, and we'd camp out on the beach for a month or so, and I didn't do a lot of backing up. I just always try to, you have to think ahead when you're going into a parking lot, whether you're just driving one or towing one.
you really have to
think ahead.
We tow a vehicle, or have in our last two RVs. Originally, we had smaller RVs and drove it everywhere, which took a lot of extra gas. It required unhooking every day from wherever we were, and it put us into some situations that we either couldn't go into or we regretted that we had. So we decided to tow, but a few times we pulled into a parking lot that has no outlet, and you have to unhook the tow vehicle and turn around, and it's a real pain.
Oh, I know.
To think ahead.
Let's talk about being inside now, from a woman's standpoint, you're doing the cooking, and what sort of things do you look out for?
Well, if you're buying an RV, look for the storage space. I think you find out when you have traveled in one fairly often that you don't need nearly the stuff that you think you need, because it adds weight and it adds things to keep up with and keep straight. And then when you get back home, you think, goodness, why do I have all this space to take care of and all this junk to dust?
Right.
But if you get one, most of them now have slide-outs, and that reduces storage capacity both inside and beneath. It increases your room when you're sitting still, which is very, very nice, but you do sacrifice some of the storage space. And I'm short, so I have a hard time reaching things in the upper cabinets. So depending on your height, that's a factor to look into. And we have had Class C and Class A, and we've had gas and we've had diesel. And the Class C gives you more sleeping room because you have a bed over the driver's.
Now, you might just take a moment to explain to our audience A, B, and C.
Okay, the A is the one with the great big front windshield and no bed,
over the top.
Yeah. Over the top of the driver's seat. And
right.
The C is a smaller, normal-sized windshield, and you can't see out as in a panorama sort of way, but you have an extra bed over the head of the driver and the passenger.
Right.
So even a smaller RV can have more bed space than a larger A. If the smaller one is a C.
In terms of the number of beds, yeah.
Right, the number of beds. Another thing from the inside is the configuration of the kitchen or the bathroom, you know, which affects everyone. But a major thing, major consideration is if you're going to be traveling long distances or staying in it long periods of time, you need to consider water capacity, your fresh water and your black water or storage, wastewater.
Right.
Needs to be larger if you are intending to travel without hookups. If you're going to be in a place where you're hooked up all the time to sewers, then you don't have to be as concerned with that.
Right. And of course, your generator if you're going to be away from hookups.
Yes, that's a very important factor. But basically, we just love RVing, and it allows you to go into so many places and stay that you cannot stay in where there are no hotels or even motels. We love the national parks, and we love to hike, and we can, of course, many people have campers or RVs because of hunting or fishing and various hobbies that require being out in nature, and you just can't do that if you're staying in hotels. But it's just a wonderful way of life. You have to really enjoy your family or your partner, though, and learn to keep things straight, because space is limited, and if anyone is real messy, first of all, it's going to irritate everyone, but secondly, the things will fly around while you're traveling, so it becomes a danger factor also.
Now, you mentioned national parks. From a scenic standpoint, I guess it varies from park to park whether they're national parks or not, but do you find that the national parks are more economical than some of the other RV parks?
Yes and no. That has been true for many years, but now they are becoming, they have more facilities than a lot of the major ones, and they are charging higher prices. So if you have the full hookups, it can be the same price as some of the family-owned RV parks. Now, your major RV parks, KOA and Good Sam, they usually have a membership. Well, they have a membership price that's a little reduced than the ones that just appear. But the national parks, particularly the ones in Canada, we spent all last summer in Canada, and we were quite surprised that the provincial parks are even sometimes more expensive than the private parks. But they offer some wonderful things, too. And you can get in either the U.S. or Canada, you can get a national park pass. Or if you're over 60 years old, I believe it is, or 62, you can get the senior pass, which makes it very economical.
That's good. That's good advice. Now, you've given us a lot of tips, but if you were to reflect and go back and recap, what is the biggest tip that you could give anyone that's either interest in purchasing an RV or that has one and is heading out on the road?
Well, I think just try it first and try out different kinds to be sure that you are getting the one that you want. My husband's tip would be if you can afford it and if you're going to travel long distances and in high mountains, to get a diesel. They are more expensive to begin with, but they are more economical in the long run to operate, and they last a lot longer. They drive like a truck. They're much easier to drive. And
That's what I hear, yeah.
And they are much cooler to travel in, too, because the gas engines have the motor on the... I don't understand the mechanics of it, but something's inside that makes it hot.
One of those figamajiggers.
Yes, one of those figamajiggers. I think it's your motor, but it's under a pretty little thing that I don't know what's under it.
Bonnie, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, and I say hi to Bill for me.
Well,
and
thank you, and we enjoy talking to you every time. We'll look forward to it again.
Same here. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, so don't forget to get one of those figamajiggers, as Bonnie has suggested. We're going to break, as usual, and when we come back, Karen LaPerry is going to take us on a mental journey to the Pennsylvania Dutch country, so stay with us.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks. All-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stuff all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl.
Well, we're back, and Mike had promised us a little Valentine's music, but somehow or other he lost it along the line. He's shaking his head over there, so anyway, we'll get to that. In any event, travel journalist Karen LaPerry is our agri-travel specialist, and today Karen's going to take us on a mental journey, as I mentioned earlier, to Pennsylvania Dutch country. Welcome once again to Talking Travel, Karen.
Well, thanks so much, Roy. It's always a pleasure to... check in with you and some of the latest travels.
Well, I will wish you a happy Valentine's Day since we missed the music.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, I'm up here in Maryland, and we're shoveling out from, you know, about 4 inches of crusted ice and snow.
Well, it seems that almost everybody I talk to is buried in snow, except for here at 77 degrees and sunny in lovely downtown Sarasota.
Probably one reason to move down there, right?
I've been here for a while, and I love it. People say, oh, how do you handle the heat? Well, I turn on the air conditioning. That's what I do. And better than
Well, right now we've got the heat, but it's manufactured.
Right. Karen, great article, great area that you've written about. I was aware that you were a photographer, but I wasn't quite as aware that you were addicted to photography.
It's hard for me to go anywhere without my camera in hand.
And there's some lovely pictures as well. I just love them. And that's what makes all of this multimedia business so interesting, because one can read the article and look at the photos, and you're not limited to 1,500 words. So,
well, exactly. And, you know, everybody relates to travel in different ways, but it's still through the five senses. And some of us are more visually acclimated. Others prefer the audio sensations. But we respond to all of them. And, you know, agri-travel actually appeals to all of those. You know, it's the smells of local cuisine. It's the eye candy from the wonderful agriscapes, and it's actually talking to some of just the really authentic people out in the rural landscape, the countryside, you know, and seeing what America's all about. And probably most important to me, it's finding out about our food supply, our food source, and recognizing just, you know, what a wonderful country this is, that we have such an abundant supply of food that's sanitary, it's safe, and we're able to distribute it to such a large population.
And you mentioned it in your article, if I may, you mentioned one of the, perhaps the best way to experience Pennsylvania Agriscape is by getting the Blue Ribbon Passport. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's something that's actually sponsored by Pennsylvania Tourism, and
right.
We have them listed in the article. Or you can go to www.blueribbonpassport.com.
Right.
And what they have are basically three different routes that crisscross across the state, huge state, that give you really wonderful samplings of their fairs, their wineries, the farmers markets, farm stays, things like the cow to the cone experience, and really just so much more. And what's really neat about this passport program is if you actually log on to it, there are coupons. There's a lot of participating farm stays and places where you can get discounts on your experience.
And it's a great variety of things. As you say, it's fairs and wineries and farm markets. It sounds wonderful. I think that when one is traveling, when you get these little hints, it can make the experience so much more pleasurable.
Oh, definitely. You know, one thing, as I was reading this before you called, Roy, and I'm going to mention this because it's not quite as obvious, but as I was reading some of the places I had gone, it occurred to me that this agri-travel in Pennsylvania was a very sexually loaded experience, with things like intercourse canning and boobies brewery. Anyway, we'll leave that at arm's length.
Anyway, you went to Lancaster County, and now, you know, the word for corn in Spanish is maíz. And,
yes.
And so it's interesting that it's referred to, do they pronounce it maíz as well in Lancaster County?
Well, this is German heritage, and actually maize.
Okay, well, I mean, that's pretty close, isn't it?
I tell you, I can't say enough about this Cherry Crest Farm and their amazing maize.
Right.
I had no idea. This was my first, and, you know, it's kind of like never having been to an amusement park and hitting Disney World as your first. You know, the standard gets set really, really high, and that's the case with this Cherry Crest Farm.
Okay.
And I would just encourage anyone, adults, teenagers, families, there's something in it for everyone. I had a blast.
And here you are in this Mason, and what you do is you become your 007 Department of Agriculture agent, and your mission is now to find the missing pyramid.
Yeah, the food pyramid. And along the way, I get all these clues that are just, you know, help me learn about the pyramid and how to lead a healthier lifestyle.
And we've all seen the pyramid. Of course, every time I go to the doctor, they give me that piece of paper and listen, follow this.
Well, I was such a paradox while I was doing it with my fudge samples in hand. But
yeah, exactly. Well, same with me. They give me the sheet of paper, and I go across the street to McDonald's and hand them the sheet and say, if you don't have any of this, give me a double of cheese or something. You know. In any event, I think that it's lovely country, and you go on to say that each year there's something a little bit different, and this year was the fudge shop, as you just mentioned, which sounds very intriguing.
Well, let me expand on that. Each year their maize takes on a different theme, and it just seems they keep topping themselves. They keep getting bigger and better, and I'm not quite sure how they can, since they're really probably one of the best in the country. But, you know, whatever next year's theme will be, you can be guaranteed it's going to be educational, entertaining, and fun for all ages.
Right. And lots of chocolate.
Lots of chocolate, yes.
When you mention the Hershey Farm restaurant in the article and a number of other eateries and a number of items, why don't we just touch on that for a bit, if you will?
Oh, yes. I mean, have you been to the Pennsylvania Dutch Country and had a slice of shoofly pie?
It's been a long time, but it brought back a lot of memories as I was reading your article. But yes, to answer your question, I have been there, and it is terrific.
And you've had shoofly pie.
I've had shoofly pie, and you might explain to our audience, however, who might not have had shoofly pie.
Shoofly pie is just this wonderful molassy, sugary concoction that is just sinfully rich. And it's something that may be too sweet for a lot of palates, but nevertheless is something you really have to sample, because you can't leave Pennsylvania Dutch Country without sampling the local food items. And this is very much Pennsylvania Dutch. You know, it's recipes, family recipes that were perhaps easy to make, but utilized, basic staples and food that was on the farm.
Now,
and, of course, this was done in a time, of course, many of them still farm the very old-fashioned way and burn a lot of calories. And then there's people like myself that don't quite fit in that category, so I have to be very sparse with my portion of shoofly pie.
What about the whoopie pie?
Well, you know, the whoopie pie, the closest way to describe that's like a moon pie. At least when I grew up, it was, you know, this wonderful marshmallowy concoction between two kind of cookie wafers. And their version of the moon pie actually takes on all kinds of flavors. You can have wheat, you can have pumpkin, you can have chocolate, and whatever you want is there. And I found that one of the best places to actually try the moon pies was this place called Glick's Food and Crafts. And it's actually an Amish farm that's opened its doors to the public and has for sale a lot of their local items, including Amish quilts, the whoopie pies, the shoofly pie. And what was really neat is you get a chance to see some of the farm animals, and they also have some of the Amish buggies that you can look at up close.
Yeah, you went to the Crida Farm. You took the Crida Farm tour, the cow to cone, right?
Yes, that was quite fascinating, because that particular farm tour is really state of the art. They have their cows actually go onto this kind of stainless steel carousel where they're milked by machines, and it's all automated. And what really surprised me is afterwards, the cows get their own spa treatment. There's these brushes that give them back rubs, and I was able to watch from my vantage these cows basically fight over their spot in the spa.
How about that?
That's amazing.
They get a little massage, do they? Or?
Yeah.
Now, you go on to say about it was very educational, the point why the earrings and that. But I want to ask the kid question. Can I ask the kid question?
I'll go right ahead.
Do brown cows produce chocolate milk?
Oh, isn't it amazing how so many people think that's true? And, unfortunately, that's not the case. You have to go over to Hershey's and get some of their chocolate to add to the milk in order to get that brown milk.
But they did have a number
of... And since I mentioned Hershey's, you do know they're having a 100-year celebration there this summer.
That's right. That's you're absolutely right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, something not to miss, because they're going to have all kinds of sweet surprises for guests that come commemorate this centennial anniversary. Now, to answer you, Roy, no, chocolate milk does not come from chocolate cows.
No. But what is interesting, as you point out in your article, is why they have the earrings, the markers, and the bracelets, and how many stomachs does a cow have, and how often can they get milked, and that sort of thing. So the kids get a lot of kids and adults of all ages, as they say, so it is very informative.
Well, especially when you consider that most young kids these days think that milk comes from the store. You know, you go down to the store and buy it, And, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and sometimes it even has your picture on it, if you're missing.
Hopefully not.
Karen, it's a great article, and if those that are listening go to their computer, click on it, and read it more in depth, and see some great photos as well. Thanks, Karen.
Well, thank you so much.
And
you keep warm down there.
Yeah, and you know what? We're going to meet in Baja soon, I think.
I certainly hope so.
Lots
of great stuff happening there.
Yeah, we're looking.
Yeah, we'll have to update your listening audience on that, because, yeah. My God, it's just the place to be these days.
I agree, and we've been talking to some of the people in Loretto, and I plan to probably get down there. It was a contact through a friend of yours, actually.
Great.
In any event, we're going to run, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye for now. Karen LePerry, agritourism, a whole new concept in tourism, but very interesting. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Ron Kreider is going to be with us, and we've got some interesting information to share with you, so stay with us.
This is the story of Mary and Larry. They had cabin fever so bad it was scary.
We need a vacation, a place warm and sunny, a place that's fun for not much money.
Let's escape the cold and the snow. We'll fly Sky Value from Gary, Chicago.
Sky Value now offers great rates from convenient Gary, Chicago Airport to your favorite hotspots, Orlando, St. Pete, Fort Lauderdale, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. Book your flight at flyskyvalue.com.
Gary, Chicago Airport works for me. The drive was easy.
The parking secure and free.
Sky Value sure saved us money.
You're so smart.
And so is my honey.
And they flew Sky Value from Gary Chicago Airport happily ever after.
Fares are one-way subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. Fares do not include September 11th security fees and other U.S. taxes and fees. See participant agreement for details. Sky Value flights operated by Extra Airways, PC number 06154.
Well, we're back. Talking Travel will be joining a new radio medium shortly. It is called the World Travel and Dining Channel. And here to tell us more about it is the founder and president, Mr. Ron Kreider. Welcome to Talking Travel, Ron.
Hey, Roy, how you doing today?
I'm doing terrific.
Congratulations on that new grandchild. Is that a boy or a girl?
It's a boy, and a good-looking guy as well. He must take after his grandfather.
No doubt, no doubt.
But thank you for that. Ron, I must say that I'm very impressed with what you're doing with the World Travel and Dining Channel. Let's share with our audience what the plan is, if you will.
Well, let me tell you how we got started. Many, many years ago, Pierre Wolf and I, he's a talk show host in Colorado and also does another program called America's Dining and Travel Guide all across the United States.
And a good friend of ours as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, we traveled together in Jordan recently. Pierre started getting a lot of emails from folks all over the world. As a result of these radio broadcasts we were doing that were being on the internet. So we said, you know, maybe we ought to put something up on the internet. The original plan was just to put some of his shows up there and archive them. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, we are doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then we realized, well, it just can't be all Ron Kreider and Pierre Wolf. It's got to be more than that. So we started expanding and adding more talk show hosts and getting more people like you to participate so that there would be a variety for our listeners to listen to. And now we are getting emails constantly. We are being barraged with emails, which we love, of course, from all over the world. And phase two of our little initial project, so the first project started back in November 19th of this past year. Phase two is we will have a website for World Travel and Dining Channel, and I understand we're going to be working with you, and we'll have you guys a part of that as well. We'll all be kind of join forces, if you will, so that we can cover more people, talk to more people, and expand our horizons. And in the process of doing so, we will have thousands and thousands of archived programs. You'll be able to go into our website and if you want to know about Hawaii, for example, you enter in the keyword Hawaii, and up pops an interview like the one you had with the one we had earlier today on the World Travel and Dining Channel. If you want to know about the Amish, something will pop up like the interview you just had with the gal regarding the Amish people. In addition to that, same applies for video as well. So we'll be also having a section for thousands and thousands of videos. If you would like to know more about a particular location, if there's a video available, we'll probably have it up there for you.
Now, you're running this 24/7.
That's correct.
Now, if someone wanted, for example, to listen to a particular program, will there be a schedule or a clock or something that they can look at so they could find their favorite program, for example?
Number one, there'll be an ongoing schedule which will show what's playing and what's coming up within the next 2 hours in more or less a real-time basis.
Right.
And number two, by using the keyword search, you can build your own radio station, which means that you can go in there and say, I want to know a little bit about the Amish, I want to know a little bit about Hawaii, I want to know... And you just plug in all the different interviews that we have had, punch a button, and it'll just start playing them for you so that you'll have your own little radio station.
So they play in sort of a loop.
In a sequential order, yes.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And you can do the same thing with the videos because most of our videos are not very long or will not be real long. Probably not more than 4 or 5 minutes at the most. Most of them are even shorter than that. But, you know, some of the hotel videos can get a little bit longer if they're really good. And if they're good, we're going to put them up there.
Well, that's also a very interesting approach, kind of like the YouTube approach, or would it be with people being able to post their own video?
They can do that as well. They can post their own audio dialogue of where they've been, maybe... or they can do the same thing with their video and show us some of the video footage of places they've been.
Now, would there be this would be in a separate section on the website?
That's
wouldn't
correct.
The
website will have many sections,
right.
And it's going to be the reason that we have not put it up as of now is because every time I see it, I say that's too complicated. Make it easier. It's got to be simple so anybody anywhere in the world can do it. I'll also tell you that we did a live show the other day. And we said, give us a call from anywhere in the world. I will accept collect telephone calls here. Give me a call. We got all these calls from people who obviously understood English because they knew enough to call, except they didn't speak English, and I didn't know who they were or where they were calling from.
But you accepted the call anyway.
We accepted the call. Of course we did. So it's almost like having your little personal shortwave radio station because, as you know, right this second, we're talking to people in Africa, in Asia, anywhere in the world that you can think of. That is where we probably will be, people will be hearing us.
Well, it's interesting because we, as you know, get a lot of that. I'm surprised that we get email from India telling us that they enjoyed the show and the information on our site. As you know, on our site, due to Bob Fisher's efforts, we have a lot of editorial content.
Yes.
So people go there for research even. We've had students come to Bob and say that they're writing an article on the Mennonites, for example, in Mexico, and they've read through the article and needed more information or used it as part of their presentation in school. So that's what this is all about. You know, it's all about quality and as Bob likes to say, no flash and trash. We know we just give you the straight scoop.
Well, you have some terrific correspondents, and your correspondents are very well-educated people, some of which are teachers. I know Bob in Canada and so forth are very smart guys. And it's good that, you know, I love to surround myself with smart people. It makes me look really good.
Well, that's what I do. I'm just kind of the mediator here. Now, give us a time frame, if you will, Ron, on when this will... when you might have this website up and running.
Oh, there you go, nailing me down. Well, the time frame was January the 1st of this year.
Well, I hate to say anything,
we missed that date, so now that we're into February, we're hoping my birthday is March the 10th, so we're hoping before March the 10th it will be completed. I've given the programmers until the end of February. You know what they say, if you want to get something done, you have to shoot the programmers because they keep coming up with better ideas. But the deadline is supposed to be the end of this month, but if not so, surely no later than my birthday.
Well, and mine's the 5th of March. I don't
Outstanding. Know. Great. We're both Pisces.
Yeah, so somewhere in the middle there. Tell us a little bit more, if you will. We'll have a number of different programs.
Yes.
And are you going to actually broadcast each of the different shows, like, for example, Pierre Wolf's, that will be broadcast in its entirety, and then are you going to take segments and run that in a mix throughout the day, or what's your plan with that?
Well, that's exactly what we do, and very similar to your program as well. This is live right now on the World Travel and Dining Channel, as well as TTRN Network. It's then at the end of the program, it's recorded, and then we take the segments and cut the segments up and make feature segments out of them. Our goal, obviously, in the future is to have every hour full of live people sitting there talking to you and taking telephone calls and emails from all over the world. That's the long-term goal. The short-term goal is to have programs such as yours live at this time. Pierre Wolf's show is every Sunday East Coast time from 3 to 5 p.m., and it's just on a Sunday. And again, we take those pieces and chop them up, put them into the archives, and people can then access those through the keywords.
Now, we might also mention that although the website is not up, they can go to Mr. Five Star.
Yes, let's make sure we mention that, because I know you have listeners all over the world as well. If you go to Mr. Five Star, MrFivestar.com, and up in the right-hand corner, it says World Travel and Dining Channel, and you click on there, and you get a live broadcast, and it's we're giving you lots of information every day. We update the travel news. That each hour you get travel news, just kind of like a radio station, except it's travel news instead of the regular news. We give you time checks all over the world, temperatures all over the world. At that moment, I can tell you what the temperature is in Moscow or in Dubai or New York City or Boston or wherever it might be. And then a tremendous amount of travel tips. And then each hour at the moment is filled with these travel segments, such as this one, and all the segments you have on your network are cut into pieces and played during those hours that we don't have live programming.
Now, you can probably also, I think you can go to pierrewolf.com as well, and there's a link to Mr. Five Star.
That's correct.
On
it's
that.
PIERREWOLFE, because he's expensive. He's got an E at the end of both of his names.
Now, I noticed that when I go to the site and I click on the Listen Live prompt or icon, when it comes up there, like one gets in their media player, in that window you get these little designs and things. Would it not be possible, while that segment is on, either have a photo of all the different hosts or whoever it is that you're having on the show at that point, rather than look at the psychedelic color scheme?
Very good idea, and that's how this whole thing got started in the first place. And that was ideas like you have, and you've contributed many ideas to what we're doing, and all the rest of the people who listen and our correspondents, and that's a terrific idea, and we'll try to implement that as well.
And one might even have a photo of the guest and the host. I mean, I really give you
that
some work to do.
That would be a good idea. That would be a terrific idea.
So is there anything else that you'd like to share just at this very moment?
Not at the moment. You've really pretty much picked my brain, and now everyone knows just about as much as I do, and that's a scary thought, but that's the way it is. And we're looking forward to a couple of really great years coming forward here. You know, pretty soon the Internet is going to be in automobiles. At the CES convention in Las Vegas recently, 50 new Internet-type radios were introduced, where you just punch a button on it, just like a regular radio, and you hear these Internet radio stations. It is the right place to be at the right time, and you folks who are listening to us on the Internet, you are on the leading edge of technology.
And, Ron, we thank you for putting it together, and it's the World Travel and Dining Channel.
That's correct.
I tend to say network, but it's channel, and you can go to MrFiveStar.com and you can listen live from there.
And we're looking forward to you being our partner and working with us as well. I think together we can make this a really interesting site and adventure for all of our travel audience.
We are honored to be joining and being part of this, and we thank you for the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Ron Kreider, great concept, and we're really looking forward to joining the new channel that's coming out. You are listening to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network, TTRN.com, and the World Travel and Dining Channel. My guests next week are Evan Eggers, Lee Daniel, Peter Flaherty, and the one and only Johnny Jett. Until then, this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now and happy travels.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at TTRN.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.